they will, what this means to us. Mm-hmm. Because we, I think, always sense the incompleteness of this campus and the fact that we had a very jewel-like setting, but something missing. And this really pulls it together. This makes it all work.
Thank you very much, Dr. Richard Kimmerer.
Thank you, Mr. Pitzer.
Wait. Mr. Laverty, let me ask you this question. Why do we have balconies on this tower? There are little balconies that were not in the original design.
No, that was the place for a gargoyle. I don't know if I pronounced that well.
Well, that's close enough.
Gargoyle. And those gargoyles were not functional.
Yeah, gargoyles, I think, is the...
Right, yes. And so, thinking in terms of illumination, I want to avoid the floodlighting of a tower as it is done when you have an original Gothic tower in Europe, which were built before electricity was invented. So today, the type of illumination we can have come from what we can have in terms of technique of illumination by night. And as a result, by putting those balconies as a container for the light sources, it was possible to express the Gothic shape of the entire opening for itself without thinking in terms of the total floodlighting of the tower, which at that time become an object in space, when in this case you have a floating Gothic opening in the darkness of the night, which gives much more the sensation of height and greatness than if you had a complete floodlighting of the total tower, which will appear smaller than the next apartment building nearby.
That's right.
In other words, again, trying to create a complete contrast with the usual illumination of a modern building.
Thank you very much, Dr. Laverty.
The preceding potpourri of interviews and comments were taken at a luncheon and tour on Friday, April 29, 1966, of people from the mass media who were guests of Concordia Seminary. They heard Dr. Fearbringer describe the chapels, Dr. Jean Labaty commenting on the plans of Concordia Seminary, Mr. William Crato, the business manager, Dr. R.R. Kimmerer, the dean of the chapel, Mr. Sterling Harkins of KSD Radio and TV, and others comment on the completion of Luther Tower. The following is a broadcast from KFUO on May 1st, 1966. The Reverend Walter Grotrian introduces the program.
This is an important day in the history of Concordia Seminary. Concordia Seminary is a theological seminary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and is in its 127th year. For the last 40 years of this time, it has been located on approximately 72 acres of ground in Clayton in the greater St. Louis area. The buildings in the complex, the original structures, are of Tudor Gothic design and called for a central focal point, a tower approximately 120 feet tall. This tower was never built, though, and now in its 40th year, it has been built and is to be dedicated today. We have special guests with us to talk about the special events of this day and the reason for the tower and the significance of this tower. Our guests include the president of Concordia Seminary, the Reverend Dr. Alfred O. Fearbringer, the director of public relations of Concordia Seminary, Professor Robert Gruno, and another member of the faculty, Professor Robert Conrad. I'd like first to speak with Dr. Fearbringer, because I think Dr. Fearbringer very well can tell us what the philosophy of this tower is, why this tower is being built now.
That's an interesting question. As you indicated, the buildings were designed 40 years ago by the then very well-known architect Charles Clauder from Philadelphia. And he designed the tower first and the rest of the buildings around it because he felt this was the real heart and center and focal point of the entire complex. Unfortunately, for financial reasons, the tower couldn't be completed at that time. And many people within the Synod felt that this was a great lack. So it happened that in the year 1942, one of the very devoted laymen of the church, Mr. Henry W. Horst of Rock Island, Illinois, who was a member of the Synod's board of directors, set aside the sum of $15,000 towards the completion of the tower and said that if the tower could be built within the next 20 years, this money should go towards it. But if it would not be begun within 20 years, then the money should be used for another purpose. So when we found out about this in the year 1956, we realized that the time was short. We had only 6 years to go, and we devised plans then for making a concerted effort towards raising the necessary monies for the completion of the tower. And by God's grace and with his help, we were successful so that the tower could be built and can be dedicated today. Now perhaps people feel, why didn't we rather use the money for some other purpose? For one thing, we are convinced that the ministry is God's great gift to the church and that we are often in danger of taking it for granted. We therefore have dedicated this tower to the total ministry of the Missouri Synod from its very beginning for as long a time as the tower stands. And if people object that this is too much money to put into one edifice, which is of rather limited use, we can counter with the fact that evidently our foreign missionaries and our military chaplains who do duty overseas saw a source of strength and an anchor for their confidence in this tower because they supported it proportionately more than any other group within the Synod. And so we're happy that now with the support of many people, mostly our own alumni, the funds could be raised and the tower could be built.
So it has meaning then more than just being a beautiful structure. It has a symbolic meaning. It stands for the ministry, God's gift to us.
Yes, and it specifically gives thanks to God because the stones around the top say in Latin, Te Deum Laudamus, we thank thee, O Lord, and then reproduce several sentences from this well-known hymn of the ancient church. So we sing our thanks to the triune God through the means of this tower.
I've been impressed as I've seen the tower being constructed and now finished with the fact that now when I'm driving around this area and from several good vantage points, I can see something that says there is a complex of buildings there which always before seemed to be hidden behind the woods. And Professor Conrad, I think this is rather important in for the community, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose there are a good many people in this area who have maybe suspected, but never really knew that a seminary existed behind all those green trees. And one thing that this tower does serve is to identify the fact that there is an institution here and that it as an institution is a vital part of this community. One of the difficulties, of course, of locating a seminary in the setting in which Concordia Seminary is located is that you may have the feeling that you are isolated, off by yourself, withdrawn, and have no relationship and no responsibility to the community in which you exist. But in a day when we are growing more and more concerned about the fact that the church exists to serve God's purposes in the world, then we are concerned that the seminary be identified with the community and its needs and exist as a servant in that community. When the tower can serve a purpose of showing people that the institution is there and lead them further to understand that the institution is a service institution in that community, then it has at least made a beginning point of identification visually of this institution and its purpose in being. This I can see as a vital function for the tower also.
So for these reasons that we've been talking about, this becomes an important day in the history of Concordia Seminary, this second day of May, when this tower is to be dedicated this afternoon at 4 o'clock. We want in just a few minutes to talk about the events themselves and what is taking place, but Professor Gruno, I know that there is more than just the local observance. This is really being observed nationwide by our church body.
Yes, sir, Mr. Grotrian. Last year, the Detroit Convention recognized this as a memorial to the ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And in line with this, we ask the 3 million members of the church to celebrate this day as one of thanksgiving to God for the ministry. And so hundreds of thousands of pieces of literature have been sent out to every church, over 6,000 churches in our synod, the 1,500 Christian day schools throughout the United States with their 150,000 children, we hope, had services this past week or this week, thanking God for the ministry. In addition, Valparaiso University with their 3,000 students worshiped the Lord and thanked Him this past week for the ministry. And then our Lutheran high schools, some 30 of them spread throughout the United States with 28,000 students also participated in special worship services. I was privileged to have the services in Lutheran High North and Lutheran High South these past weeks here in the city of St. Louis. In this way, they all participated with us throughout the nation in thanking God for the ministry.
I think then the participation that you're getting on the part of the churches nationwide indicate that they have caught the vision that this is more than just an edifice, that many see this as a real memorial to the ministry. Dr. Fearbringer, I think some of the things that are inside the tower are very significant and very interesting. Can you describe for us, for instance, the prayer chapel and the Book of Remembrance?
Yes, on the main floor of the tower, we have installed a little chapel, the Memorial Chapel to the Ministry. We've been successful in getting a sculpture of the Trinity, a wood sculpture done by Mr. Severson, and we've put that on the east window. The south window is the mission window, which shows both the home mission work and the foreign mission work of the church, specifically also the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There's a central altar and a very fine light fixture above it, which contains an acrylic plastic sculpture of the sevenfold flame of the Spirit descending from on high. This, of course, symbolizes the enlightening of the ministry. The floor is of marble and contains a mariner's compass in very colored marble, pointing to the fact that our students go to all corners of the world in order to preach the gospel there. And the legend around the light fixture on the very ceiling of the chapel says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Then there are a few seats and a few kneelers so that members can worship there if they wish. But perhaps the one of the main things is the set of cabinets at the north door, which will contain the books of remembrance. We have begun making these books and devoting one page in each book. It's about 9 by 16 or 9 by 14 inches in size. One page which describes the ministry of every one of the servants of the Word whom God has called home and who served the Missouri Synod during their ministry. By this time we have 3 books complete. We estimate that it'll take about 30 to catch up with the number of ministers that have served in our church unto this time.
So it is a memorial to those who have served, but it is also dedicated to the ministry of the present and the ministry that is to be in the future. And as the ministry continues to heed the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, we realize that we are facing a changing world at home and abroad. And Professor Conrad, I think you might be the man to speak to us of the ministry of the future.
Well, as you indicated, it is hoped that the tower can serve as a symbol and focus for those who are presently serving in the ministry in a way that they can be recalled towards the place where they were equipped for their ministry, and we hope come back frequently for the kind of refreshment and study that will better equip them for present ministry. Obviously, the men we have on campus now are the ones who compose the coming generation of pastors, and under the guidance of God and His Holy Spirit, we pray that they are being adequately equipped for a ministry of the future. This is awfully hard to determine. We have no presumptions that you can equip a man once and he's all set for another 40 years. We hope these men will be able to return and to be helped in a ministry that probably more and more will be shaped by circumstances than it ever has been in the past.
If now, I may just come in here for a minute, we recognize today, I think, very much that it is very essential for people who are in any kind of healing ministry. I'm thinking of medical doctors, of psychiatrists, and I know personally even dentists who are constantly going back for refresher courses because there is so much that is coming into our knowledge today about dealing with the human being. And what you're saying is this is very essential also for the minister, that he isn't once and for all equipped.
Yes, it's not that what God has done for us and given us to do changes, but the situation and condition of men change, and the constant search for the way in which we are effective instruments to carry out God's purpose is something that every person needs to keep asking about and finding ways to do. And under the help of God, this is precisely the business a seminary is in. Now, I'd like to add to this, of course, the fact that if the gifts of God in the form of ministry to His people is to continue to be given, God uses what you might call a very prosaic way to cause this to happen, and that's through the willingness of young people to be equipped in this way, and a lot of this has to do with the parents' willingness to encourage their children. So hopefully the tower can serve as a focal point also, and reminder that God gives His gifts to the church of the future, to generations yet unborn, as His people are willing to dedicate the bodies and minds and hearts of their children towards this kind of work. And this is a growing need. This is becoming a very crucial kind of need. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is not alone in this. There are vacancies and shortages in many church bodies, and it doesn't look as if it's going to become any less. So the need for
a thinking through of how God does give these gifts to the church and of their necessity to carry out this ministry and of the willingness to give life and time and children to this sort of situation is a very vital thing.
Well, Professor Gruno, this tower is to be dedicated this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and if people in the vicinity of Concordia Seminary campus at beginning at 3 o'clock this afternoon begin to hear bells, a carillon playing, this is sort of an invitation to them to come and participate in the dedication services. Is this right?
That's right. At 3 o'clock they may begin to hear the carillons play. This is a traveling carillon of the Burden Company of Cincinnati, Ohio. It came in Friday. And they have a carillonier from Detroit, Michigan, who's been formerly with the Rockefeller Memorial Chapel and the University of Chicago in concerts. And he is coming here to St. Louis and having a concert this afternoon at 3 o'clock, and then tomorrow, Monday, at 12 noon and again at 5 p.m. And this will start off our festivities this afternoon at 4 o'clock. We will start the actual dedication. It'll start with a procession with all our district presidents. That's throughout the United States. We have districts in our church, and the presidents of these will be in town and will be participating in the processional. Dr. Harms, president of our synod, and his vice presidents will also be here. And also our sister seminary at Springfield, Illinois, will have many of their faculty members with us. And all of these, together with local clergy, pastors of local Lutheran churches, will be in a grand processional with our student body, coming from the east side of the campus and the west side of the campus, flowing together before Luther Tower, singing hymns of praise to God. Dr. Oswald C.J. Huffman, speaker of the International Lutheran Hour, will be the speaker on this occasion. And Dr. Fearbringer here and Dr. Harms and Professor Fred Kramer of our Springfield Seminary will be participants in this service. So that will be the big dedication service this afternoon, 4 o'clock.
As I understand it, it will be something that will really sing Te Deum Laudamus. I understand there will be high school bands participating.
Lutheran High North and Lutheran High South, their bands will be with us. We will have the cantata chorus singing from the heights of Luther Tower. We will have trumpets up there resounding and sort of back and forth with the groups on the ground. It should be something really glorious and tremendous in praising and thanking and glorifying our God on this glorious day.
So we invite the people of the community, the people of the churches, to participate at 4 o'clock this afternoon on the seminary campus for this dedication services. Professor Gruno, perhaps you'd like to indicate some of the other activities and observances that are going on that have started already and are continuing through tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Tonight at 8 o'clock, the Concordia Seminary Chorus Annual Spring Concert will take place in the Field House here on the campus. And tomorrow evening, something really special. At 8:30 in the evening, the premiere performance of the St. Louis Cantata will be performed by the Concordia Seminary Cantata Chorus. This was written by Jan Bender, a German who came to the United States and has been serving at one of our institutions in Seward, Nebraska. And this was commissioned by our 125th Anniversary Committee, which celebrated the anniversary of our seminary 2 years ago. And this will be performed for the first time 8:30 tomorrow night in the chapel auditorium here on campus.
I was talking with Professor Barrick, the conductor of the Concordia Cantata Chorus, this past week about this cantata. And though I have not heard it because it has not yet been performed, his description of it makes it sound like something that certainly should be heard. It is quite impressive, according to the description that I have received, and almost achieves oratorial proportions, I believe. It's about a 45-minute work.
Yes. I should also mention, too, one thing I did forget, food. I shouldn't forget food. There will be food available on campus this evening at 6 o'clock for our guests. a very nominal charge, and this way they'll get to mill around and see each other and talk and have a good family spirit here on campus. Those of our radio audience who haven't been to Concordia Seminary are going to be in for a real wonderful surprise, I think, because we do have a marvelous campus here, and in all of the spring glory that we're having these days, I know they'll be very happy that they came.
Professor Conrad?
I was going to ask Professor Grunow if he could tell folks what to do in case it rains. Is the whole thing called off?
No, sir. No, oh, we're planning on going through with everything because the field house will be all ready for the evening seminary chorus concert, and we'll have 2,000 chairs down there for all our guests. And so we're planning on going through with this thing, rain or shine. But, of course, we're asking the Lord to let it be bright sunshine.
Professor Conrad before mentioned the fact that this tower could be seen by the community and was meant to give an identification to the seminary before the community. I would like to just mention that in connection with the events of this weekend, yesterday afternoon, there was a discussion on some of the problems of the community that was held at Concordia Seminary, in which Mayor Cervantes of St. Louis, Supervisor Roos of St. Louis County, together with Dr. Arthur Carl Peepcorn, participated. There have been also other events. Professor Grunow, Professor Conrad, rather, someone else, too?
Dr. Schuller, Dr. David Schuller
That's
of our
right.
faculty, also participated in this discussion of what are the problems of community, the community in which we live, St. Louis County, and then what are the responsibilities and relationship of the church to these problems as we exist in the midst of this community, both as individuals and as a corporate body?
No, there have been other events, too. We can't mention them all, but I would like to return now to Dr. Fearbringer, because there have been many advances made on in the campus life and in the whole seminary program under your direction, and perhaps you have something else or some to say yet concerning this present day.
Of course, our foremost concern is that of getting an adequate supply of able young men who will dedicate their lives to the service of our Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel in order to help their fellow men and in order to further the work of the church. We hope to remain alert to everything that is possible for us to do in order to improve our program, both as far as individual courses is concerned, as far as equipment goes, and as far as able faculty members also are concerned. And in the long run, we hope to get further buildings. We're planning now to build a chapel. It's interesting to note that in the 127-year history of our seminary, we've never had a separate building set apart solely for the worship of God. Now, we're one of the largest seminaries in the world, and we've never had a place where the students really could feel that they are in a setting that is exclusively designed for worship. We hope to have that within a few years now. And, of course, there are other things that we intend to add. I might say, too, that our tower is not as yet complete. It's our hope that before too long we'll have a bell carillon in it, so that we can sing God's praises also with this beautiful instrument. A number of years ago, a South St. Louis resident named Arthur Teamer, in some handwritten letters which were found after his death, designated that a portion of his estate should go towards the purchase of bells on the campus, so that the professors and the students might be encouraged in their work as they heard the sacred music played on them. And now we've set aside this money as the start of a fund, and we hope that before too long we'll have a beautiful bell carillon. It's interesting
that there is as yet no genuine Carolyn in the entire state of Missouri, so we may have the first.
Well, we would hope so. We would hope, too, that it would serve these purposes of which you have been speaking, to help in the recruitment of those who can serve in the professional ministry of the church. We thank you, gentlemen, very much for being with us. We're happy for the occasion. We rejoice with you and sing praises to God on this occasion of the dedication of Luther Tower. The actual dedication services today at 4 o'clock on the seminary campus. Our guests on this program have been the president of Concordia Theological Seminary, the Reverend Dr. Alfred O. Fearbringer, the director of public relations, the Reverend Professor Robert Gruno, and the Reverend Professor Robert Conrad. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.